I was telling Maharaj, it reminds me of 1975. It's like 45 years ago here in the temple room. There's it's a very difficult situation at this time, but in some ways there's a little satisfaction going to Mangalartik and not having to be constantly pressed against one another. There's a pleasure in remembering those days. I'm sure particularly for some of the ladies, it must be much appreciated that they can actually see the deities at this time. So today, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me see. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, the Canto 9th, Chapter 18, to Text 30 and to 32. Text 30, Nahusya Sutam Dattva Saha Sarmistayosana Tam Maharajan Charmistam Adhas Taupe na kart hichit. When Sukracharya gave Devayani in marriage to Yayati, he had Sarmishta go with her, but he warned the king, "My dear king, never allow this girl, Sarmishta, to lie with you in your bed." Text 31. Vilok Yaso nasam rajan charmista suprajam vachit tameva varve rahasi sakya patim rito sati. O King Pariket, upon seeing Devayani with a nice son, Sarmishta once approached King Yayati at the appropriate time for conception. In a secluded place, she requested the king. The husband of her friend, Devayani, to enable her to have a son also. Okay. Text 32. Ajaputraya tito patye. Dharmam cha vaksya dharmavit. Smaran chukra vachakale dishtameva vyayapatyata raja putraya tito patye dharmam cha vaksha dharmavit smaran chukra vachakale Dishtameva vyapadyata Raja puchartito patye Dharmam cha vaksha dharmavit Smaran chukra vacha kale Dishtameva vyapadyata Raja putraya tot patye Smaram chukra vacha kale Raja putraya tot patye Dharmam cha vaksya dharmavit Smaram chukra vacha kale Istameva vyapadyata Raja putra yato patye Dharmam cha baksha dharma vid. Smaram chuka vacha kale. Distameva pyapajata. Aja putraya tota jay. Dharmam cha baksha dharma vid. Smaram chukra vacha kale. Dishtameva pyabhadyata. Any ladies? Aja putra yato patye. Dharma che vaksya dharma vit. Dishtameva pyapadyata. Raja putriya. Vaisramishta. Who was the daughter of a king. Artitaha. Being requested. Apatye. For a son. Dharmam. Religious principles. Cha. As well as avaksya, considering dharmavit, aware of all religious principles, smaran, remembering sukra vachaha, the warning of sukracharya, kale, at the time, dishtam. Circumstantially, eva, indeed, abhyapadyata, accepted, to fulfill the desire of sarmishta. Translation: when Princess Sarmishta begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Sukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Sarmishta. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. King Yayati was completely aware of the duty of a Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is approached by a woman, he cannot deny her. This is a religious principle. Consequently, when Dharmaraj Yudhisthira saw Arjun unhappy after Arjun returned from Dwarka, he asked whether Arjun had refused a woman who had begged for a son. Although Maharaj Yayati remembered Sukracharya's warning, he could not refuse Sarmishta. He thought it wise to give her a son, and thus he had sexual intercourse with her after her menstrual period. This kind of lust is not against religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 11, Dharma vidurido bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex life not contrary to the principles of religion is sanctioned by Krishna. Because Sarmishta, the daughter of a king, had begged Yayati for a son, their combination was not lust, but an act of religion. Translation: when Princess Sarmishta begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Sukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Sarmishta. Omagina tumirandasya gananjana salakaya chaksurlanmudham jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svaya Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatandikam Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastri Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions? So, we've been, of course, going over these verses day after day. Today we come to this point. I wanted to read one thing. I thought this morning's message from Srila Prabhupada, which is at Gaur Purnima time in Mayapur. Dharmatma Prabhu, he wanted me to speak about Srila Prabhupada during Gaur Purnima. So this also was during Gaur Purnima when he was in Mayapur in 1976 in a class. And it pertains to both this verse and also the situations that we have currently going on in the world. Prabhupada says, "We act according to our whims, and the resultant action is there immediately. Nature's law, God's law, is there. It is not God's creation that somebody is suffering from some painful condition and somebody is enjoying. No, we infect ourselves with some contamination because this material world is full of contamination. You must remain very cautious, otherwise you will have to suffer." So in that regard, we can see our temple president here, consultation with management and society in general, put certain restrictions. Restrictions are always there. Here we're talking about religious principles. Prabhupada, when he was here, many times he would mention his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was Naistika Brahmachari. Prabhupada, in one conversation with a few of his disciples, was talking about his spiritual master and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said that even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would make fun of his father, saying, "You had two wives. What kind of man you are?" He said, yes, he was so strict, Bhakti Siddhanta. Prabhupada said he was so strict. Small Krishna Maharaj said, "Prabhupada, you're also strict." He said, "No." He said, "I'm just imitation." But he applied those same principles Prabhupada applied. Huh? But Bhakti Siddhanta, he said, "If I could have Krishna conscious children, I've had hundreds of children. It's not a problem." The point. So sex life is not that sex life is bad within religious principles. Nothing is bad once following religious principles. But done whimsically, you can see the result. Just like currently. All of these different viruses over the years, this is just another one. Every few years, there's another contamination. We had bird flu, we had swine flu, we had mad cow disease. Everything from what? Not following religious principles, huh? From meat eating. Very simple thing. Just not eat meat. They'll never understand this principle, society. After this is passed, everything will go back to the same. We even see currently in this very same market, in Wuhan market, still these sales are going on, even it's abolished, so-called abolished in China, eating all these abominable things. Prabhupada would speak about that too. He would hear stories sometimes. One country, forget, he said they had that little jug outside their front door.
In Burma.
Every disgusting animal thing that died, they would just put it in this jug. For years, until it would become so putrefied, so terrible, and then they would eat it. So this is what's going on. And then they wonder why there's so much suffering is there. He said immediately suffering will be there. Also, over the last few classes, I heard there was brahmacharyas. He had asked a question about a soccer ball. Grihasthas, what do you do with your children? Is it okay you get them a soccer ball to play? I was thinking about that. Srila Prabhupada, he described many different things with me when he was a child, when he was young. One of them was, he told me, him and his little sister, Pishima, they would fly kites. So Prabhupada had a kite. Where did he get the kite? From his father. He was a child. He had a kite. He said, well, what did they do? He said, they would run on the roofs of the house. And if the kite wouldn't go up, he said he would tell his sister, pray to Krishna, make the kite fly, make the kite fly. Another one, of course, we know right away. Prabhupada had guns. He saw a gun, toy gun. He wanted a gun. He was a child. Child means 1900. Maybe he was 4 or 5 years old. So his father got him a gun. Of course, he wasn't satisfied, he said. He told me this. I was giving him massage. He says, he looked at my other hand. He said, I needed a gun. His father said, no, you have a gun. He tried to limit him, as fathers will do. But Prabhupada, we can understand. Thankfully, Prabhupada was very determined. He never took no for an answer. So he demanded another gun. Again, his father said, no. So Prabhupada told me, he laid down on the ground and he started banging his hands on the ground, banging his head on the ground. He said, you see this scar? That's from that time. This was Prabhupada. You remain brahmacharya, you'll never have to understand how to deal with children in this way. How do you deal with your crazy children? I saw one in the USA now there. One lady, she has 3 young children, and she just showed a video of the children in the house running around crazy, locked up in their house. She said, when is this going to be over? This is taking care of children. But Prabhupada was also not fanatical. Like he said, I'm imitation of my spiritual master. He said he was so strict. He said in those days, he said, so much strictness was not there. He was telling them, everyone, so many so-called sadhus, as Prabhupada would say, these so-called, they would smoke ganja. It was very common. He said, my father was giving to Mal Krishna. He was always, he couldn't understand many times things Prabhupada would say to him. He says, your father was giving him marijuana? He said, yes, it was very common, he said. He couldn't understand because Prabhupada was very strict in regulative principles. He was strict about household life. He was very strict when he spoke from the Shastra. But he was also very compassionate, very practical. He wasn't fanatic. And he was in Germany. He was staying at the Schloss. Germany, the German, they're also now taking this very, very serious. Everyone's locking down their countries. No one coming in, no one going out. It's become very serious. So Prabhupada was there in 1976. 74.
I was there.
Thank you. He was on a morning walk. German devotees, they had their Prabhupada hats. They saw Prabhupada hats. They saw how Prabhupada chanted japa. They would chant japa like Prabhupada. So they're all on the morning walk. And Prabhupada was walking through the fields. So Prabhupada continued. Devotee said, Prabhupada, we should go this way. He said, why? He said, well, it's a codicil. And that's a field of grain. We go through this field, we might breathe in the grains. Prabhupada used his pointer, his cane. He said, don't be a fanatic. Prabhupada was not fanatic. Prabhupada was very merciful. But he was also very strict. This is what he wanted. This is our business. This is our duty to understand what the spiritual master wants from us. Huh? That's who we go to understand our religious principles. What does Prabhupada want? Even in these circumstances, this is always, they have that little phrase now, they say, what would Prabhupada do? Sometimes it's not so easy to understand what would Prabhupada do. Again, the other day, the devotee was speaking, saying how we're not want to come out of our comfort zone in devotional service. Over-endeavor. Because Prabhupada also says, also there in Upadeshamrita, not very good, this over-endeavoring. But if you were with Prabhupada, you would see, sometimes he would see things different ways. I got to see it in my personal life with Prabhupada. It was Gaur Purnima time. I was thinking of Prabhupada's being for Gaur Purnima. Every day was Gaur Purnima for Srila Prabhupada. Every day Lord Chaitanya was appearing everywhere he went. I mentioned last year during the festival, 1975, in 2 months, every temple Prabhupada stopped at, he would look at Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and he would see how they appeared all over the world. He was heading to Mayapur for Gaur Purnima festival, where there would be 500 devotees there, 1975. All these devotees were from all over the world. They weren't from India, they were from everywhere but India. They had come from all over the world because Lord Chaitanya had appeared there in his holy name by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's work for his spiritual master. He never rested. Prabhupada spoke with one Indian man. He said to him, from 1965 to 1977, I was never healthy. He said, I never felt healthy the whole time. And the man said to him, so there was anxiety, was there the difficulty? He said, no anxiety. He said, but my health was never good. From the time I left India, he said, I never felt healthy. But he was doing his spiritual master's bidding, his spiritual master's order. That was his only concern. And when we were traveling on the way to Mayapur, we stopped at different temples. He saw Lord Chaitanya in Caracas, Venezuela. And there he said, he's traveled so far to be with you, pointing to the devotees. This is personal. He said, Lord Chaitanya's traveled so far. Srila Prabhupada traveled so far around the world 14 times to carry out his spiritual master's order. It's all he thought about doing. Every moment was how to implement that order. And he did want us to take some trouble. In Juhu, 1976, Prabhupada was not well. There were always difficulties going on within the society, within ISKCON. So one man in the audience said, Prabhupada, you please, you give me your blessings. Prabhupada just stopped. He just looked at him. He said, you want my blessings? He said, problems. So many problems in ISKCON. Everywhere problems. All these problems on my head. You want my blessings? He said, you take some of my problems. You have my blessings. When Prabhupada went to Miami, I was his servant for 2 years by this time. One of those years in and out of India, which meant in and out of sickness for me. If you've heard me speak, read my book, you all know. If I was in India, I was sick. So I knew Prabhupada was headed back to India. I didn't want to go. I had made a preliminary arrangement with a godbrother, his previous servant, who liked India, that he would take my place. I was so afraid to go to India to be with Prabhupada. So the first, I never said anything to anyone except this devotee. So the first stop on the way to Mayapur, one of the stops was in Miami. And as we were walking Coconut Grove, I guess it was Abhiram's cottage. So that became Prabhupada's house for the night. So I opened the door, Prabhupada walked into the cottage. I was behind him with his bags, his white bag and his suitcase. And Prabhupada stopped right in front of a picture of Krishna and Arjuna. And Arjuna's on the chariot, got his hand on his head. I'm not thinking anything as usual. And Prabhupada looked at me. He said, I like this painting very much. So I knew, never ask Prabhupada a question, because you have to be prepared to get his answer. So I always avoided asking any questions, but I was caught off guard because it was just a simple statement. He was just expressing his delight, how much he enjoyed that painting. So I said, why? And he looked at me. He said, Arjuna, he's in so much anxiety. Why? He said, because Krishna's telling him, you have to kill your relatives, your friends. He's looking right at me. He said, what to speak of leaving your family? If Krishna wants, you have to kill your family. He knew I wanted to go back with my family. He knew it. That's what I wanted to do. So he told me right there, your business is servant, traveling around with me. Never mind what your family is doing. This was Prabhupada's mood for us. This is what we understand. Look at temple president here, 10 years temple president. He's in his 60s. We're supposed to be retired, collecting Social Security, but we don't know how to do that. Prabhupada showed us something very different. He said, for a devotee, no such thing as retirement. He said, the older you get, the more you do. He said, in the beginning, getting up for Mangal Arati may be very difficult. Chanting 16 rounds, it's a job, something we do because we've taken that order. But he said, in time, it should become a pleasure. There should be eagerness in doing these things. He said, that's a devotee. Not that we just struggle all the time, year after year, but we develop a taste. That taste is there for service. So he said that. Then we went to the next place, and I was so bewildered, I didn't know he was preaching to me. See, that's a good preacher. He tells you what to do, but you don't understand the message until you're able to. So he just put it out there. He was just talking to me. All the time I was with him, I used to think he was just talking to me. But he was always telling me what I should be doing. But he knew I was such a nonsense person that he couldn't just give me orders. So he never ordered me to do anything. He would always just say things. He would just give little moments, express ideas as if they were universal. I thought it was applicable to everyone. When he was telling me exactly what I should be doing, and if I would have just followed his orders, life would have been much easier. Follow those religious principles. Our religious principles come from our spiritual master. Otherwise, what do we have? Without following his orders, can't accomplish anything. This is our business, to do our service. This is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. Madhavisa Prabhu, he asked Prabhupada, so many devotees, they would ask Prabhupada, how can I please you the most? He would give different answers to different devotees. Why? Based on what they could accept, what they were prepared to do. One devotee just said, you develop your love of Krishna. But when his GBC man, Madhavisa, asked, he said, you take struggle for Krishna. Because they were prepared to take struggle. If you weren't prepared, then he wouldn't give you that order. He would give you something very simple. Just develop your love of Krishna. I saw him here in India, speaking with one of his disciples. It was the most amazing conversation I ever saw. It was frightening for me. I was young. I was young devotee, young in the temple. When I joined Prabhupada, just 1 year in the temple. And people I would see with Prabhupada, they were devotees for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, sometimes 10 years older than me. It was an entirely different generation. And Prabhupada dealt with them differently than how he dealt with me. He told this devotee, you stay in India, I need you here. And he said, I want to go to America to preach. This was 1975, preaching was explosive in America. Devotees were being made every day. People would shave up. One day, they'd go in the temple, shave up the same day, start chanting 16 rounds, put on their saffron cloth, start going to Mangal Arati. That was 1975. So they wanted to be part of that preaching. But this devotee was a big manager in India. He was needed here. And Prabhupada said, I need you to stay here. He said, there's no preaching here. No one could make Indians devotees. It was impossible. They had no interest. They knew everything. That's what he said. You can't tell them anything. They know everything. Prabhupada said, I need you here. He said, but I want to go. This went back and forth for several minutes. Prabhupada got louder. And so did this disciple. He got louder. I was shocked. I was frightened. I was in the corner. Couldn't understand how this was going on. So Prabhupada said, I need you here. No, I want to go. You have to stay. No, I want to go. Finally, Prabhupada just looked at him. He said, you chant your rounds, follow the principles, do any damn thing you want. That was Prabhupada. And that was some of his disciples. He had to deal with us. Crazy people we are. Not just were, I can say for myself, crazy. And Prabhupada accepted our service so he could spread this Krishna consciousness all around the world. And he always backed up his authorities, his managers in the temple. There was one GBC at the manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor. So he was not very much good at his sadhana. It was kind of well known. So in the temple, of course, in our Kanishta stage, we like to see the faults in others. Our own faults, not so easy to see. Everyone else's faults, very easy to see. So when Prabhupada arrived at the manor, temple president, he was my age, like me, devotee for 2 years, he was temple president. And resident sannyasi was there. So the two of them, they came right up to me. We have to see Srila Prabhupada. Our GBC, he's so many problems are there. Mismanaging, doesn't chant his rounds. Everyone knows it. Mismanaging money. He's renting cars when there's no money in the temple so he can drive himself around very nicely. So they were complaining. So as soon as Prabhupada got into his room, they wanted to see him. And they wanted a change. They wanted him out. Nonsense, out. So they went in to see Prabhupada. I would always just be sitting there. Prabhupada would never say, okay, I'm having a meeting, you get out of the room. He would say the very opposite. No. He said, we have no secrets. That was Prabhupada. We have no secrets, he would say. Because he had no secrets. We have secrets. Prabhupada had no secrets. He would say, no, stay. Because you get training that way. Huh? He would want you. If you were in his association, he would want you there as much as possible. Because he expected you would learn something. To learn what it meant to be a devotee. How to apply these principles of Krishna consciousness. So first it was the temple president. And he was Prabhupada, our GBC. He's not chanting his rounds. Everyone knows it. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, you shouldn't criticize the senior devotee. This devotee, senior, meant he was a devotee at that time 5 years. This person was a devotee for 2 years. Prabhupada looked at him and said, you shouldn't criticize a senior devotee. And then he turned away from him. He wouldn't even look at him anymore. And he looked at the sannyasi. He said, tell him to leave. He wouldn't even tell him to leave himself. He was so offended by him criticizing his GBC, his devotee, that his disciple that had done so much over the course of 5 years, helped him open temples, done amazing things. He sent him out of the room, but he didn't tell him. He said, tell him to leave. Just see how Prabhupada felt about criticism. When we want to criticize, just remember how dangerous it is, especially someone has done so much service. Maybe you don't see the service that's been done or acknowledge it. But Prabhupada saw what his disciples did. And based on what they did, Prabhupada had very personal relationship with them. So much appreciation he had. So then that devotee left. He remained temple president. It was done. But in the moment, that's how Prabhupada dealt with him. To also show him how things should be done. And then he looked at the sannyasi. His mood was very different. He said, Prabhupada, he was also around from 1967, sannyasi. He said, Prabhupada, it's true. He said, everyone knows he's not chanting his rounds. Prabhupada looked at him. He said, Arjun wasn't chanting his rounds. He said he was fighting a war. Battle of Kurukshetra. He was killing his friends and his relatives. That's what Arjun was. He said he didn't have time to chant his rounds. He said, anyway, you should see it like that. You should see it in that way. And of course, after the meeting was done, he called in his GBC and he said, you have to set an example. He said, you have to chant your rounds. You have to do all these things. But that was all. He just dealt with it. I say, Prabhupada never, when somebody came in his room, Prabhupada never said, are you chanting your rounds? Are you following the principles? He'd say, what have you done? What are you doing? He assumed those things were going on. Your devotee, automatically. Like he said, when we became devotees, I don't know if you remember, I remember hearing it all the time. If Brahmananda goes into a bar, you understand he went in there to preach. That's your only thought. He went there to preach. That's how devotee sees things. Even you see the worst situation, you take it, he's there to preach in that situation. This is how Prabhupada taught us. Every temple manager, Prabhupada supported them. I got to find out myself personally. I'll never forget it. I was with him 2.5 years. I saw how Prabhupada dealt with us, how compassionate he was, how loving he was, how kind. So I wound up in the Hawaii temple. I was there for days. I couldn't tolerate the temple president because he was so abusive to everyone. The way he dealt with them, he didn't deal with them like they were devotees, like they were his slaves. They're just shouting orders all the time. Prabhupada had such finesse, so cultured when he would ask someone to do something, even if he would tell you to do something. But he was just so rough. And I wrote Prabhupada a letter. I didn't know what to expect. But I wrote him a letter and said, this devotee, Prabhupada, is just terrible. Temple president. So very quickly I got a letter back from Prabhupada. It said, so you're having difficulty there in the Hawaii temple. He said, so you've been managing Govinda's restaurant there in Hawaii, the very first Govinda's restaurant there in Hawaii. He said, so our Ambarish Prabhu, he wants to open up a restaurant in Boston. So you go to Boston and help him open up the restaurant. So basically he kicked me out of the temple because I criticized about his manager, his temple president. 6 months later, he was gone and I was invited to be the temple president. But it wasn't something I had arranged. It was arranged by the higher authorities. Otherwise, in the temple, we support. Prabhupada always supported his managers. He said, this is how things, otherwise how does anything go on? But he had his own personal ways as well, Prabhupada. And I understood it, being with him a long time. I remember in Mayapur, Gaurapurnima Festival, 75, out in front of Prabhupada's rooms, a nice patio was there. A devotee was chanting his rounds, chanting japa, very loud. I said, Prabhu, he said, you have to chant softly. I knew Prabhupada was there in his room. He was going to be disturbed. He looked at me like, I'm chanting my japa. And I knew he's thinking, Prabhupada must be very happy to hear me chanting so nicely. I said, Prabhu, you should... He didn't listen. A couple minutes later, the bell rings. Go in the room. Who is out there making all that noise? Yes, Prabhupada. Tell him, go chant in the temple room, he said. Why is he making so much noise out there? Yes, Prabhupada. So then he listened. I had to use, Prabhupada said. In those days, at least you would say, Prabhupada said that people believed you. Now you can't even believe, Prabhupada said. Even then you couldn't believe, Prabhupada said. One time Rupa Nuga came into his room. Prabhupada, did you say World War III was going to start? He gave a date, exact date. It was maybe 2 years ahead or something. Prabhupada said, I never said such a thing. He said, who told you this? Rupa Nuga said, well, this devotee told me that Shruta Kirti said that you said. Prabhupada looked at me. He said, Shruta Kirti, did you say that? I said, Prabhupada, I never said anything about a war. Prabhupada just shook his head. Just see, he said. They'll say Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. He said, but if you didn't hear me say it, I didn't say it. In Mayapur, at the Gaur Purnima festival, very famous morning walk, Prabhupada said, World War III will come soon. As soon as he said it, there were 20 devotees. Everybody got closer to Prabhupada. Because we're always waiting for the disaster to happen. You think this Corona Asura? You think this is something new? This has been going on since I became devotee in 1971. We're always waiting for the global destruction. Devotees have been going and living in the mountains in the 70s, waiting for the calamities to happen, waiting for the destruction to happen. Every year, every 2 years, there's the next thing. Eventually, someone will be correct and say, see, I told you it was going to happen. Like they say, even a broken clock is correct twice a day, right? So eventually we're going to be correct. There's going to be that war is going to come. And Prabhupada said different things. Of course, he said it would happen between India and Pakistan in that way. And then he said after the war, preaching would be very good. People would be flocking to our farms, which we still haven't established 45 years later. But devotees were just started asking questions. And then Prabhupada just looked at us, all us crazy, crazy people. And he looked up in the sky. He said, if we see the bomb coming, say, here comes Krishna. Yeah. That's us. We take precaution. Not that we shouldn't take precaution in this scenario going on currently. We have to be very careful. We're taking our precautions. But at the same time, we understand we're under Krishna's protection. If he takes us all, if he takes one, takes all. We only want to serve this life, the next life. So we can be careful. We should take care of everyone, take care of ourselves, but we shouldn't be fearful. Okay. Hare Krishna. We have 5 minutes. We have any questions? We'll start with our fearless leader. As a manager, you have a responsibility. In Hawaii, I use Hawaii as a reference because Hawaii always, Prabhupada said in a lecture, no lazies and crazies in the temple, because that's in Hawaii, basically that's what you had, lazies and crazies, and some of them were lazy and crazy, you know. Some were just crazy, some were just lazy, but some of them were crazy and lazy. So as a manager, it's a difficult position, but that's his responsibility. Others can, in a compassionate way, if they see someone going astray, they can say such and such is going on. They themselves can try to help. We try to encourage. That's what Prabhupada said, you encourage. You set an example. His previous servant before me, Nanda Kumar, he's over and over again, he keeps writing on social media. Prabhupada said to him, he was very critical. He could. He was very good at saying different things of Prabhupada. He would see faults in different ways. So finally, Prabhupada just said to him, the rules and regulations are for you to follow, not to implement them to everyone else. It's your responsibility and to set an example. Of course, as a manager, you have to try to help these people. But there's always a point. Even Prabhupada had Brahmananda pick up one of his disciples once and bring him out of the room because he was nonsense. It was here in India, in Hyderabad. He had left already, and he had come back, and he had his matted hair, long hair, his beard, looked like a proper Shaivite, you know. And he came before Prabhupada, and he was obviously intoxicated. He started doing all these mudras in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada tried to talk to him, but he was just... Then Prabhupada, I was sitting there, and Prabhupada just looked at me, and he knew I was useless. He said, "Get Brahmananda." Brahmananda said, "Get him out." You know, I mean, it was like small change for Brahmananda. He was eager to do that kind of service. We all have our abilities, you know, what we can do. Like Prabhupada said to me, I was too easygoing to be a temple president. It's a fact, you know. I had a business 20 years. I fired one person in 20 years, and he was doing crack cocaine in front of me. So otherwise, I had no ability to fire anyone. So we have to keep a standard. Prabhupada talks about the program. He uses the word. Just the normal program has to go on, which means the whole morning program. He said, if that goes on, everything you do will be successful. But if you don't do that, then nothing but danger, just difficulty. So that's your responsibility. And everyone supports you. Anyone with intelligence will support. Anyone with proper intelligence or knowing how Prabhupada did things, that's how Prabhupada did things, you know. At the same time, they themselves should be helpful to one another. Hare Krishna, anyone else? Yes?
So sometimes we have uniform, we are maintaining.
Not maintaining, yes. Again, Prabhupada had temple standard. You, of course, have an international society here, international temple, people coming in from all over the place. But Prabhupada had for brahmacharis, he said here, right here, on the Vyasa-san right here, he said, every fortnight, shave your head. Now we have so many reasons we can do so many other things. But he said from the Vyasa-san, he said, I've been saying for so long, I can't say it anymore. He said, I'm tired. He said, but every fortnight shaved the head. But all his disciples, he said, have flag, sika, tilak, and neck beads. He said, all the grihasthas, he said, you can wear whatever. Any color, he said, you wear whatever you like. He said, grihastha. But nicely dressed. Not like hippies. Never liked it. One conversation, he told his disciple. He said, you have a beard. His disciple was such a rascal. He said, you had a mustache. Prabhupada said, I wasn't initiated at that time. He said, my disciples have to be clean shaven. He said, if you have a beard, you're not my disciple. That's what Prabhupada told him. Oh, he said, you never said that to me before. He said, well, I'm telling you right now, if you have a beard, you're not my disciple. So Prabhupada had a standard. He had standards in the temple. And those living in the temple, they should follow that standard. They should follow the program. Otherwise, why live in the temple? Not for lazy people. Easy lifestyle. Now, very easy in the temple. It's a step up. come and live in these temples, nice rooms, nice prasadam, salaries, devotee maintenance, everybody gets something. Anyway, not everybody. There's still some. Don't take anything. This is nice. Yes?
I wish you would thank you for the last. It's nice to hear one of the experiences you had with Prabhupada. Some question is, since you spent so much time with Prabhupada, it says that in the management, emotional decisions are not allowed. It's mainly based out of your intelligence to take some decisions. So since you spent so much time with Prabhupada, can you just cite any specific event where Prabhupada took some decision based out of emotions? My question may be wrong, but did Prabhupada take any decisions at any point of time based on emotion rather than...
Based on what?
Emotion.
Based on emotion?
Instead of being, doing the practical, right? Maybe sentimentally.
He could make practical decisions very emotionally, but they were still very practical, just like the story I told. There was a lot of emotion in that conversation between Prabhupada and his disciple who wanted to go to America. Much more emotion than I ever wanted to be around. Prabhupada, I call it his Nrsimha incarnation. He was quivering, his lips was quivering, his body was shaking, eyes were like... So there was plenty of emotion, but still, it was practical. And then, an hour later, that same devotee could come in the room and you would never even know they had that conversation. You understand? Prabhupada, he could... Prabhupada would use that example of the tortoise, Prabhupada could put out so many different ways. I saw it myself. Scream at me. I only did it a few times. And imagine, 2.5 years, he raised his voice, yelled at me 3 or 4 times. I seen him do that with devotees in a day. Tejas in Delhi, Prabhupada could yell at him all the time. Tejas said to Prabhupada, anything you see that I'm doing you don't like, you tell me. I would never say that to Prabhupada. I couldn't tolerate Prabhupada yelling in that way. But no, everything, and he would change sometimes too, according to circumstances, according to different things devotees would tell him. It wasn't he would say something necessarily and it just remained that way. He could make adjustments as necessary. Just like now in these next few days, you're going to make some adjustments. You start out at one point, the strictest point, then you start to see, this is okay, but you have to start somewhere. So that's what Prabhupada would do that. But Prabhupada was a genius, how he spread Krishna consciousness. He was a pure devotee. He took direction from the Lord directly. On his own, he could do anything. But if he had a question, he could speak to Krishna. Krishna could speak to him. Who's on that level? I'm certainly not on that level. And he said, everything is in my books. That means the more we dive in, like he said with the deity worship, he said, if you're not reading his books, eventually worshiping the deity will become a burden. Because you don't understand the nature of Krishna, of the deity, who the deities that they're there. So it's like that with everything. Our service will become a burden. Why am I chanting? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing all these things? Because we don't understand why we're doing it. That's why over generations, everything, even with the highest philosophy, everything can fall apart. Because we're not reading. We're not hearing. So that's what he said, this morning program, to hear. He said every day 2 hours, which meant morning class and evening class. Evening class is just about unheard of in most temples anywhere. A few people will go. The class is going on, but attendance is pretty much optional. But morning class, very important, at least to hear words from Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's comments, commentary. It's our life. And you see, as time goes on, you read these same things, and there's so much in there, so much more realization, hopefully, as time passes. Okay, better be a good one. Hare Krishna. By concentrating on our service to the spiritual master, what our business is to do. That's not our business. And it's very, you know, even if it's justified or perhaps appropriate, I know even hearing something from anyone that something that they actually did, just hearing it changes your mentality towards the person. Doesn't help relationships at all. You know, it's very damaging. Prabhupada, even when he did criticize, he with Jaipataka Maharaj once, he would say, "They say." So he never directly, when he would speak about sometimes his god brothers, he would say that they say that such and such is doing like this. He didn't like to hear criticism, especially about his disciples, from other disciples. You know, even with this scenario going on, many people will criticize, "Wow, you're closing down, you're taking away the opportunity for people to see the deity," you know. Immediately you become disturbed by such a thing. I forgot what my point was. But as soon as you hear that, it becomes a disturbance in our service. Our own service becomes disturbed. Jamuna had a very nice way. Someone would start to criticize. She would just say, "Oh, that's very interesting," and just walk away. What's the need to hear it? Prabhupada saw everyone as pure devotee. Everyone. He said, "Everyone, my disciples, they're pure devotees." He would use that mango, the green mango. He says it's still a mango. It just hasn't ripened yet, but it's still a mango. That's how he saw his disciples. And that's why we were eager to serve him, because he did see us in that way. He saw us so much better than we saw ourselves. I know that with myself. I would be amazed that he would spend the time to help me in my Krishna consciousness. I would think, all these things he's doing 24 hours a day all over the world, and he's taking time to see that I'm okay, that all my needs are met materially and spiritually. Everything was taken care of. What to speak of criticizing? Our business is to see everyone has facility. It's not just for management to do, it's for everyone. Prabhupada saw also the managers, also the pot washers. Somebody's not there to wash the pots, you wash the pots. He saw everyone on the same level. Servant, his servant. When I didn't answer the bell, somebody else answered the bell. And they said, "Well, Prabhupada, I was waiting for Shruta Kirti." He said, "Your servant. Why are you waiting for Shruta Kirti, who's swimming in the swimming pool at the time?" I was swimming in a swim. I was taking bath in a swimming pool, having a good old time in Perth, Australia. So he said, "You're also servant." That devotee remembered that the rest of his life. I'm Prabhupada's servant, not just one personal servant. We're all personal servants. So get busy, do your personal servant. You let the criticism for others. Let everyone else do it. Not my business. I don't like to hear it. I don't like to hear it. All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.